Howdy.
Alright.
It's on!
It's on like the Donkey Kongs.
Speaking of, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Oh yeah, see, I put them.
Are we cutting you off again?
No.
Cutting you off?
We're not cutting you off?
No. That's why we discussed this earlier. We
did. Did we?
You and I did, yes.
About cutting you off?
About not cutting me off. I told you I was going to talk about Scott Pilgrim today.
You didn't tell me this.
I told one of you.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
It was part of a conversation. There was back and forth.
What, you know what? I came back from lunch, and it had started over. Like, I guess I had dropped, and then you re-invited me.
Yeah.
It happened then.
What happened when?
The conversation between you two. Because you didn't say it to me.
You didn't say it to me. You can check the chat logs.
I will check the chat logs. I know I spoke with somebody. I even mentioned that the reason I wanted to bring it up was because it's actually going to be released on the Xbox, too.
Scott video Pilgrim. Game.
Oh, yeah, no,
it's
but
a comic
PSN
video
first.
Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Comic video game and now a movie.
Oh, well, we can
or
talk about
comic
this in,
movie and now a video.
In the thing, yes, yeah. Okay.
All right, so this week.
This week.
We should. We have to address a few things. Okay, all right, so this week.
This week.
This week, we're going to be talking about the Apple's WWDC. We're going to be talking about
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. We're going to be talking about Mortal Kombat's new thing.
We should probably try that over.
Yeah. Good thing we did it in the beginning.
No, it's editing. All right. All
right, ready? All right, ready? This week. This week, we're going to be talking about Apple's WWDC. We're also going to be talking about
the new Mortal Kombat concept trailer.
And the many variations of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yay.
All right, so to get things started, we'll talk about Apple's WWDC. And more along the lines, what I want to talk about was the iPhone 4 came out, but it was like, it is an incremental upgrade, but they do have a very nice display. It's still 3.5 inches, but they're keeping it, you know, the same, obviously, form factor. It's actually a little bit thinner and, I think, smaller. So they actually made it smaller, but they still packed more stuff into it, made the battery bigger. They did a lot of nice things. The antenna is actually part of the structural casing, so that's really cool. They had, you know, front-facing camera, and they just upgraded the camera in the back with a LED flashlight as their light source. So they have that, and then there's the iOS thing that they announced, and that has you know, multitasking, the folders, and some other neat stuff. But it's not full multitasking; it's only selective multitasking. But still, it's, you know, a welcome change from whatever anyone else is doing, and it's pretty neat. They do some cool stuff, like things that autocomplete. Like if you're uploading a file through an app, and then you say, "Okay, let me go to the home screen, let me do something else," it'll finish the upload and then kill the application after it's done.
Hmm.
So there's all these little things that they do. So it's good enough multitasking. There may be, you know, something else that you could ask for. Like probably, I think in video games, when you push the home screen, it actually quits out of the game. So it doesn't like just put it into a sleep state that you can recover from later on. I think it actually fully kills it. It's pretty good. It's not too bad. There's all these little things that they have to it.
Going on with that a little more, how does that work with, like, if you're playing a game and you receive a phone call?
It always kills
just
the game.
Just kills it?
Kills the game, yeah. So, like, in Super Monkey Ball, the game that I owned when I had my iPhone, say you were in the middle of the level and you were just about to finish it and you got a phone call, too bad, so sad, you got to start from the beginning. Yeah, so certain different things, they basically start you from checkpoints, and, like, games like that are checkpoint heavy.
It's a revolutionary game machine. Right?
Yeah.
The revolution is the revolution of the player against the makers of the game machine. They're going to come with their flaming pitchforks. A combination torch and pitchfork is the newest thing. Also, Apple innovation.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Yes, they put in a gyroscope.
Oh, yes.
As well as the accelerometer, and they have another sensor. They have two more sensors. They have that one proximity sensor, and they also have a fourth sensor that's escaping.
Ambient light.
No, it's something else that has to do with... Oh, magnometer.
Oh, right. So,
yeah.
Compass module,
yeah,
type thing.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
What he said.
I say magnometer.
And then he says compass and...
Sure, whatever.
No, it is.
No, I know. But I mean, me saying sure is like, yeah, sure, whatever, egghead.
he's the one that used the more complex term.
Yeah.
Whatever you say. Contact lenses.
So they add the gyroscope, and that's pretty cool. But like you said, we added a gyroscope, and this is going to be a new way for to enable new types of gameplay. And I'm like, no! No, you're going further away. You're pushing the problem further away. He played like a Jenga game, and all the while he was trying to balance the Jenga tower while moving out like blocks. And like as he was doing that, like as he was teetering, he was like trying to, you know, put gravity on the other side. So I'm just like, and like every article I read is like, you know, these the gyroscope is going to push gaming in a whole new dimension. I'm like, accelerometers were there. I mean, it's not really going to do much for you.
It's gonna. And what's funny too is it's not. It's like it's going to push gaming in a whole new direction. I mean, the direction of the Wii Motion Plus, which is a gyroscope added to an accelerometer-enabled controller, that's entirely new.
I don't think we can complain much about that, though, because that's what every other phone company is doing with all of Apple's things.
No, it's true.
Apple's making the innovations.
No, the thing is, they're saying it's a whole new direction.
That's true, yeah.
That's like saying, I invented salt! Other people use it on other things, but me, I invented it.
Yeah, there's also, it gets pretty funny, though, because Their high-resolution screen, it's 960 by 640, but it's 3.5 inches. So the pixel density is, like, really, really high. The PPI is, I think, 326. And he said that it's so fine that it's as far as the eye can see. Like, you know, the eye can't compensate for all those pixels. And he calls it the retina display because it's as much as the eye can handle. And then today someone said, no, that's actually not true. The eye can handle up to 447 pixels per inches at 12 inches. And, you know, he's saying that at 300 PPI is what Steve Jobs said, that's at 2 feet. But no one really holds their phone like this.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in between. So he's like, I'm not saying that it's not a fantastic thing, but, you know, and they were just really, it's really just nitpicking at what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's splitting hairs.
Yeah. It still is. It's going to be a fantastic display. I think it's going to be real nice. But Super AMOLED.
Super AMOLED.
OLED
is... It's an inside joke for you people.
OLED is basically where it's at for me. You got, you know, true black. No, the response rate is fantastic. And color reproduction is fantastic.
You know what I like about the OLED is that the color scheme affects battery life. I think
yes.
That's a hilarious thing.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah, the more black that you have
the
on display,
black, the better efficiency.
Yeah, because it's true black, so they're not...
They're turned off.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're not emitting. Yeah. So,
you're going to have, like, black and dark red as your color scheme. It's going to be the evil phone.
This is one thing I can't get, because every time they cite OLED, they're like, oh, the contrast ratio is 1,000,000 to 1. And, you know, you're looking at LCD, and it's like 800 to 1. And it's true black, so you could say it's infinite.
It's infinity, yeah. Yeah. It's a zero emissiveness.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't say infinite. Infinite sounds like a much better number than like 1,000,000 to 1. Because you know as soon as Apple gets their OLED, they're like, the contrast is infinite.
It's true.
They're good with marketing.
They are.
Going back to what I think the iPhone 4 really is, and especially with the new iPad, especially now that they have FaceTime. You know what's cool about FaceTime is they have that open standard that they just did.
No, it's not cool about FaceTime. The name FaceTime.
FaceTime sucks. Yeah, I don't know what the name
FaceTime. FaceTime is good. It's sort of like one of those Japanese game show type things.
Yeah,
where they're just saying the name of the thing. I realize FaceTime is a phrase. Oh, we need to get some FaceTime. No. It's like bonus round.
I could see a company like Skype calling it FaceTime. Because you use that phrase more in a business-oriented sense.
Yeah.
But used by
the
Apple?
iPhone, the iPhone's a revolutionary business device.
And I think they're like iFace...
I. And then, of course, the person who runs the video conferencing would be the captain, so he'd be the I captain.
Actually, that'd probably be pretty cool. Anyway, so they have, you know, FaceTime, and that's an open standard, and Skype says that they would like to use the open standard, so that's pretty cool. I think that the thing is that Nokia phones and a lot of international phones, and like someone from Sweden was commenting, he's like, we've been doing video calls now since like 1997 or whatever.
We are behind
those Scandinavians really conquered the wireless market.
Yeah, no, so like, you know, they're obviously they're saying all these things, but then you look at the US market and we are so far behind
in
mobile space that it's actually good that Apple is doing all this because they're driving forward a lot of things that people, I mean, like, if other people have done this, like if Android did this or Microsoft did this or other people do it, no one's going to support it. But if Apple says, okay, here's a thing, you know, people use it, and then people start using it. It's yeah. like, they have a lot of marketing clout, and they have, like, things that can push people to use stuff. Even though you could have told someone, like, you know, like, oh, I just had a baby, I think I would love to see if, you know, I would love to talk to my wife and see my baby at the same time. That would be something that I would like. And you don't need an advertisement to show that to you. Yeah. And that's what all they did on their FaceTime thing was show you, like, you know, grandparents looking at this and that. Some guy that was in Iraq looking at his family. And it's like, yeah. You know, I visualize this.
It's a camera. That's exactly what happened.
So there's that part of it's cool. But now I see, like, the iPad is definitely going to get that. And I think that's going to be a neat thing to do.
Yeah.
But if you look at their progression of where they're going and what they can include, and you look at what Android has coming out, and the problem is what I was going to say is that the iOS devices, because they're going to be reaching 100 million, they're going to have sold 100 million iOS devices. So that's iTouch, iPad, iPhone this month. That's 100 million. It's one third the US. So that's like a huge number, right? And I was like, the problem with the iPhone and all the other guys is that the iPhone had the multi-touch display, and no one else had that. They didn't have that pinch zoom, and they didn't have the smoke and mirrors effect that even though the machine was slow, and just as slow as everyone else's, it felt responsive, and it felt very, very quick. So people just assumed that it was a better product just because it was more responsive.
Yeah, the OS stole enough of the resources for itself that it was always rock solid and super fast.
Exactly. So they always had that, and that's always been nice. So now, like the new Samsung Galaxy S that I saw, I've seen guys flipping it around like just like the iPhone, but it's running Android. So now you're going to have what I call is a usability parity. And now you're going to have features that are going to be eclipsing what Apple has been doing, because they only come out with one phone a year. And other carriers like Nexus One came out in January, December of last year, or this year, depending on, you know, if January of this year is December of last year. So, I mean, that came out mid-year, whereas iPhones launch in June. So they have 6 months to cover a hardware gap and all the other stuff that they can actually have better specs than an iPhone. So you have different form factors. You have all these different things that could tailor to other people, plus you have other carriers. So you have all these things, and I was like, this is the beginning of Apple's dominance. Not that they've sold 100 million iOS devices, and I don't see that slowing down right now, because they're still going to sell the next iPad, and there's a lot of people that are waiting for the next iPad with the front-facing video camera, and they have nicer specs and all that other jazz, and probably better battery life with the same type of form factor. So they're going to have another. The iPhone 4 is going to sell. The next iPad is going to sell. But I think that after this generation, this selling wave that Apple's going to have, I think once, because 2.3, Android 2.3 Gingerbread is supposed to come out the end of this year. So Google has been pushing like updates like twice a year, whereas Apple does one. And they've said that they're going to slow down, but I don't think they're going to slow down just yet, because they're still trying to get way past where Apple is. So they're doing a good job. So by the end of this year, basically, you're going to have the next iPad that's coming out. You're going to see a lot of news from Android, and you'll be seeing a lot more things coming from that side. And Windows Phone 7 is going to launch in September through November. So you're going to have all these different guys that are coming out with products that are going to have the same usability in terms of like how fast it is and how responsive it is and how you're accessing it. And the difference is that the features is what it's going to have. Now, Windows Mobile is going to have Xbox Live integration and all that other jazz, so that's going to obviously suck in a good amount of gamers and all that other stuff. And you can all, if you're talking to some guy and you say, oh, what's your gamer tag, you'll be able to add his gamer tag directly on your phone and do all that other neat stuff. And they have deals with Netflix. They already have Netflix on the phone. You know, they demoed it, you know, a while ago now. Supposedly, the 360 is going to be getting Hulu at E3 this year. That's a rumor going around, so you can actually kind of see that going over to Windows Phone 7. It's also supposed to become the iPad, but there's weird things going on that. But so you see all these different things that are coming out, and the difference is, well, especially for Android. Android's more of like a small personal computer, in so much that it's actually true multitasking, and you don't need to sync to a device to, you know, keep any semblance of trying to organize data. You have a file manager, you have a task manager, you have everything that's in a phone on Android. So it's like a real small computer, like a nice interface for Linux. Whereas the iPhone and iPad are really more of like companion devices. You can't do anything without iTunes. And they purposely cripple Bluetooth profiles so that you can't send data. You can't like send files to people because they have that a whole obfuscation layer for the music. Because they don't want people giving other, letting other people have music. You know, trying to, you know, swap songs and stuff, you know. If they allowed that, that would be a huge breach for them and like a whole bunch, they would just enter in too much stuff. You can't print on the iPad, so they don't have any profile for, you know, Bluetooth printing. There's a lot of different things. And now, like, HP is coming out with printers that have email addresses in them that are, like, this weird convoluted way to help iPads print. And I don't know if it's just solely for that, but, I mean, like, iPads can't print right now, so one way to help them print would be to send an email to it. You can send an email of it of anything, and, you know, it's going to have WebOS and be able to do all that other stuff. So for me, I see iOS devices kind of like being big this year and a little bit into next year, but now as you see Android being really, really mature and Windows Phone 7, a lot of people are going to be clamoring onto that. I think on different carriers and stuff, I think we're going to start seeing them get chipped away. And ultimately, like, this is not now, but in the next year, it's going to be the beginning of the end for Apple's dominance. So you're going to start to see it trickle down. I don't think their stock is going to be as high because other people are going to be stealing, you know, what they have. Yeah. They're being way too exclusive. Even now, they with their iAds that they came out with, they purposely blocked AdMob, which is what Google owns.
Google, yeah.
So now Google can't have advertisements on the iPhone platform at all. So they purposely barred them away from it. You can't have Flash on it. Everything that they want to do, they're coming out their own standards. So other now that they're so big, people have to follow them. But, you know, they're doing a lot of things that are they're forcing themselves onto other people, and I think they're going to be ultimately pushing people away, because anytime you force yourself onto someone, people don't naturally want to repel against it. So I think that in a year's time, we're going to start to see the gradual decline of their stranglehold on the market. And ultimately, what's going to happen if this continues, where if they don't allow Flash and they just continue this path, I'm maybe in 10 years now. 10 years from now, if they continue on this path and just being this way, they're going to be in that niche market again, where they're only going to be 8 to 20% of whatever. That's basically my thought on it.
And quite a thought it was.
Yeah.
But now we're going to move on to Mortal Kombat. Now, there was actually some confusion about this. It wasn't straightened out until some Twitter conversations afterwards. Yeah, click here for Mortal Kombat action. But there was a live-action video that came on, started circulating around the net, and it's not even immediately clear that it's Mortal Kombat. Like, obviously, you're going to see on the page it's Mortal Kombat. It's very, very slowly integrates details that you would identify with Mortal Kombat. You see Jackson Briggs is the guy's name. Like, wait, is that Jax? And they start slowly describing people, and it's like, well, this guy, he's got a rare disease called Harlequin ichthyosis that causes his skin to be very scaly and his eyes are inside out and he cuts off people's heads and eats them. Codename Reptile. And at this point, people are like, holy crap. And they roll through like Baraka isn't some crazy otherworldly creature. He's a surgeon who went nuts after he lost his first patient, so he self-mutilated himself and stole these giant blades. And it's got the feel of the darker reboot of Batman, which was exceptionally successful.
Yeah,
and it's getting people excited. Mm-hmm. And people were like, "Is this a concept for the new game?" Because Boone had said that people want an M-rated Mortal Kombat. I'll give them an M-rated Mortal Kombat. So like maybe this is his thing. He's trying to show you like this is the concept that we're going to make in the game off of. But it turns out, word from the woman playing Sonya Blade, who was Jerry Ryan, she said that it was a concept movie, a short movie made by the director, the prospective director, of the Mortal Kombat film reboot, trying to convince Warner Brothers this is the direction you want to take it.
Yeah.
And it looks fantastic. Watch it for yourself. It's very, very good.
And it seems to be riling up the internet.
It is quite a bit.
Huge. I think the video was like released maybe yesterday, and it's all over.
Oh yeah, it's all over. All over. But
loading.
Did you notice, because it does say Jackson Briggs, but did you notice on the door when he closes it?
Yeah, it's cut off.
Yeah, no, it just says Jax.
Jax.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Owen end, like, fell off or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And, you know, there's also a little shake-up, by the way, if you watch the thing. There seems to be,
There's
a blurring of lines, exactly. There was, by the second and third Mortal Kombat, I mean, there were always definitely good guys. And then there were the people who were the popular bad guys, who essentially, just for popularity, became good guys, Sub-Zero being one of them.
Mm.
And then there was people who were always, always bad guys. And if you watch this thing, I don't want to say that Scorpion is a good guy. I want to say Scorpion is the guy that they were able to control to their side.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got a depth of plot which is kind of amiss in a lot of the games, too.
Doesn't he say a line in it, though? He's like, I came here under my own free will, and he, like, takes off
his handcuffs. He said that I could leave at any time. Yeah. Yeah. What do you have to offer me, right? Yeah. And, so... There's a couple of
things. That's true. That kind of, like, validates him being a good guy at that point. He handed himself in, and he was willing to
be
there.
He handed himself in so that he could, basically, well, you know, we can't debate his reasoning because we saw 5 minutes. You'd have to infer a lot of stuff. But he handed himself in, and he doesn't want to do this. And the thing that coaxes him out of retirement is finding out that he can kill one specific guy. That's not a really good guy thing, you know?
Yeah.
That one specific guy being Sub-Zero.
I was disappointed that we didn't get to see him much in the trailer.
Sub-Zero?
Yeah.
You don't hear him at all. You don't get to see him at all.
I thought they had the picture.
I don't know.
No, the picture they had from the game.
Oh, was it a picture? Yeah. Nice. I didn't catch that,
yeah.
But
that's good.
It's good. By the way, listen to the very end of the trailer because you get to hear the original, get over here!
Yeah.
Which is so out of place with the tone of the thing. But anyhow.
It really is.
There's a lot of things that this video represents. Number one, when they came out, remember Street Fighter, the movie, right?
Yes.
Let's try not to remember Street Fighter, the movie. But more importantly, let's try to remember the lesson we learned when they made Street Fighter, the movie, the game. Which, first off, terrible, terrible, terrible name. Second, it was a horrible game. Like, how you would think, surely, it's just a reskinning of Street Fighter 2 with, you know, essentially Mortal Kombat-style motion image-digitized actors. But no, they tried to redo the engine or something. I don't know. It was bad.
Yeah, it is horrible.
So now let's say this movie's made, and I think it's a foregone conclusion they're going to make this movie based on the reaction.
Apparently, I don't remember. I thought one of you guys might have linked it. Somebody did. No, my coworker did. There's already an IMDb page.
Of course. Well, you know, IMDb likes to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So let's assume the movie's going to be made. And let's further assume this is going to at least flavor the future Mortal Kombat franchise games. There's a couple of things I think it means for Mortal Kombat games. First off, if you watch the video, they stretch the limits of reality a little bit. There's a guy with a weird birth defect that makes him look all scaly. And, you know, there's a guy who was able to effectively fight with surgically implanted 10-inch things. But everything is based in physics, at the very least.
Yeah.
And the game had plenty of stuff that either outright threw away physics or was admittedly supernatural in origin.
Bestiality.
Bestiality, all that. Yeah. No, that animality,
a...
I'm afraid.
Yeah, wait a
Bestiality
second.
Wouldn't
We're
be...
We're talking about something very bad.
Yeah, that would be... I would say Jack
Strike
Thompson
that
would
from
be
the
right
record,
for the...
Please.
For, yeah, anyhow. But yeah, like...
Bestiality.
Bestiality.
And that's only... That's like when the human does it to the animal, right? Yeah. It's like, all right, I beat you. Now fuck the language.
Right, so...
Moving on.
I mean, like, you know, Sindel would wrap someone in her hair and spin them until their flesh flew off. This isn't going to happen. We're probably not going to see Sub-Zero freezing somebody with a mystic freeze spray.
That's
isn't going to happen. Now, does this mean they're going to go into the game? The game's going to be much more martial arts oriented if they were going to try to follow the ways of the movie.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see.
We did, however, get to see Scorpion's...
We did get to
projectile.
See Scorpion's get over here... spear.
And he's an assassin, right?
He is an assassin, top assassin for the Lin Kuei.
Yeah, Lin Kuei.
That's a ridiculous way to assassinate
people. That's
assassin.
Yeah. He was killed by a puncture wound through the back of the neck when a grappling hook burst from his esophagus. We don't know who could have done it.
It's such
a common death.
But I mean, like, literally, like, that's the whole plot of the assassin part of it. After you kill a person, why are you dragging him to you?
Yay! We wanted to make it look like he jumped out of the window to his death, backwards, with a punctured hole in his neck. No, yeah, it's strange. And again, I'm not saying it wasn't stretching, you know, the limits of disbelief. I'm saying it wasn't being supernatural.
Yeah.
And there was plenty. Everyone was supernatural. For crying out loud, Mortal Kombat 3, Stryker, the cop, turns into a Tyrannosaurus Rex is one of his maneuvers, okay? He has a taser and lights somebody on fire with it, which we have just learned from Mythbusters is possible.
That's true. So, did he pepper spray them beforehand, though?
I don't think pepper spray was involved. Yeah. That would be a heck of a maneuver, by the way, in a fighting game, is pepper spray. You know? They would disable their controls, or they're like, nah.
Actually, they do that in a couple of things. It's really, really annoying. Actually, they do that in, like, Left 4 Dead, and they've done it
all right, that, true.
You control someone. It's really
upsetting. Taking control away from the player is an irritating maneuver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it's valid. I don't mind it, but
one of the worst ones is when the controls are reversed.
Reverse, such a common thing in games too. Reversing the control, or not even reversing them, just sort of changing them subtly in some way.
They did that in Naruto,
Rise of a Ninja.
Yeah,
that's where it was from.
He does his like sexy no jutsu.
Yeah,
and it confuses the person. So left is right, and right is left, and all that other jazz. And it's like it takes no power to do. And that's all someone will do. They'll just spam that on you and just destroy you because you can't do anything. You just want a button mashing.
I think the worst uses of it in video games is when you're playing Guitar Hero 3 in the boss rounds and they do the left hand swap.
Yeah.
They reverse the fret order so that you have to essentially say a left-handed person who was playing righty, you can swap the guitar over and you got a chance.
Yeah.
But if you're a righty and you can't do it lefty, or vice versa, lefty can't do it righty, you are ruined. And it doesn't affect, like, you do left-hand swap on the computer. The computer's like, well, I happen to be ambidextrous. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just like bang 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 bang. It's just like game over
instantaneously. The only one that hurts the boss in that game is breaking the string.
Oh yeah,
that's the only one that actually causes them to reliably miss.
I stopped caring about rhythm games after
two
Guitar Hero 2, so I didn't even know there were bosses.
There are bosses. You get to fight the devil.
Yeah.
Two. Wow. The devil went down to Georgia. Heavy metal.
All
version.
Right, maybe I left at the wrong time.
You did. Low, you should have left after three.
Three was
good. I left after three. No, that's not true. I played some of the Rock Band and Rock Band 2, but it's just,
Yeah, no, three was really the pinnacle of that whole rhythm based game, and then everything kind of just like, okay, this is again.
It's just the new one was released every 2 months, and I was like,
no. You didn't need, and that's the thing too, because the songs are downloadable.
Yeah.
You didn't need a new game.
Yeah.
You didn't need a new game. Everything could have been DLC. Yeah. It's not like they would have made less money off of everything being DLC. Unless, you know. No, you wouldn't. Because the people who aren't buying DLC weren't going to buy the new game anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DLC. Come on, nickels and dimes. Microtransactions. It's the future.
The problem is they don't nickel and dime you. It's like they dollar and $5 you.
Well, that's worse. But still.
Oh! Talking about dollar and $5. I'm sorry. We'll get to what you have to do. Sony said, the PSP Go, I told you guys, but I didn't fill you guys in.
Yeah, we didn't.
Sony said the PSP Go was an experiment, and it failed. Like, they're like, digital distribution doesn't work. People like physical products better. And I'm like,
I don't believe that's the case. I think Xbox is doing fairly well.
So is Steam.
Steam, of course. Yeah.
So the problem was with the PSP Go, all right, let me just tell you what the problem is. The PSP Go didn't have any UMD function, right? Number one. Number two, it was more expensive than the regular PSP.
Which doesn't make any sense. You take out a function, a hardware function, increase the price.
Number three is the games were more expensive than their physical counterparts.
Wait, seriously?
If you want to, like, you know, obviously if it's brand new on both sides, it's the same price. But if you start going to the used game territory, what the mainstream people do, they just buy used games because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
You're talking, like 3 times less expensive, 5 times less expensive. And they were saying, no, digital distribution doesn't work. I'm like, that's what you learned out of that experiment?
Yeah.
Put the PSP Go?
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
I don't understand that either, because they have in the home network.
Yeah, PSN, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was aiming for.
I don't know. But I love, I gotta hand this to Sega, although I'm not sure that's valid anymore. Sega had a comment talking about the Wii when they came out with Mad World. And also, I think, did they also Conduit? I think they did.
I believe so.
Anyhow, two reasonably...
I thought Conduit was the Wii.
Sega the publisher.
No, but I thought Nintendo was the publisher.
Well, I don't know for sure. We'll just see what Mad
There was one game they hyped at last E3 that they were going to be releasing that was a Nintendo title. I thought it was the conduit. Not a big deal. It doesn't affect them.
Yeah, so we'll just go with Mad World. Mad World was an undeniably mature game, and it was on the Wii, and it was Wii exclusive. Mm-hmm. And it didn't do great. And Sega, they were saying, are you going to do mature games anymore? Or do you think that mature games don't work for the Wii? And what Sega said, which was an excellent point, just because Wii didn't make a successful mature game doesn't mean mature games won't be successful. Yeah. That's hugely presumptuous to think that if we couldn't do it, no one could do it. We're going to keep trying. Yeah. I think it's worthwhile.
I think it might be tough for the Wii, but it's definitely worth a shot.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure. No More Heroes is kind of like a mature title, and that did fairly well. Mm. I mean, you're, you know, killing people with a sword, lightsaber type of thing. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not as gruesome as...
No, it was not purposely intensely gruesome, but it was definitely at least geared toward adults.
Yeah, I mean, like, No More Heroes is like, I think a teen level. It wasn't, you know, mature level. Yeah. So, yeah. That's that.
Anyhow, talking about teens and incredible violence.
So our last topic of this week is Scott Pilgrim. It will be released in theaters this August, I believe, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. But I had a feeling it was rooted in some other form because the movie looks amazing. In effects, in, I wouldn't say story, but it does look very, very entertaining.
Yeah, fantastically.
And,
it's an awesome injection.
As I learned earlier today, not only is there a comic book counterpart, which I briefly looked at the comic books, and there's a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
Like, it almost comes off as Nintendo graphics.
Well, you can see elements of that in the trailer a little
bit. Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't have expected them to take that leap with a movie. I would have expected an animated movie from what I saw of the comic book. I love what they're doing, but what I am getting at is not only has it been a comic book, will it be a movie, but it will also be a video game coming to the PSN in August and hopefully the Xbox 360, which we all three of us are proud owners of.
I got a PlayStation right over there.
We all have that as well, but Xbox, I think, is where we're leaning toward.
We're biased.
But yeah, the movie looks awesome. I'm definitely interested in checking out the comic books, and the game I can't wait for as well.
Oh yeah, no. It's
what is is the game like the movie? I haven't seen the game at all. I just heard that it was coming out for PC.
I understand that the plot of all three is the same. It's him fighting. If you guys don't know, the plot of Scott Pilgrim versus the World is Scott Pilgrim falls in love with a girl, starts dating her. She has 7 evil exes. He has to defeat them. So
really, it's a classic. It's a classic.
It is
tale as old as time.
But all three, the comic book, movie, and video game, seem to share the same plot. Yes.
Good.
What about the graphical style for it? What does it look like?
The video game?
Cel-shaded, or is it like Mortal Kombat-y?
It came off to me, as I referenced Nintendo earlier, it came off to me almost like Double Dragon. Mm. Yeah.
So wait, like 8-bit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We can throw in some stuff later for you guys to check it out as well, but I'll show you guys. It definitely looks interesting.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I only briefly looked at it as well, so I could be wrong, but that's what I remember.
I think it's 8-bit.
You know what it is? You know what that is? That is that's like you're dangling crack in front of the retro addicts. Oh. It's like, I miss the old days. Hey, what's that? I want some of that. There's a movie?
That actually, your comment actually ties into another announcement that we all heard earlier.
You're a crack addict?
No, retro gaming.
Oh, right, okay.
Telltale Games will also be releasing
Back to the
Jurassic
Future.
Park and Back to the Future games. So that's pretty awesome.
The time is right.
Yeah.
Let's get on top of these when they're at the peak of popularity.
I don't know, I'm kind of interested about... Jurassic Park sounds like it'd be good, but from a Telltale game, it's like point-and-click adventure?
Yeah, yeah, that's my problem with it, too.
Now, see, the thing is like...
The Genesis game was awesome.
Jurassic Park, I never played
Super Fly Man.
What?
Never played it.
It was very short. You could play it either Grant or the Velociraptor.
Yeah.
And it was more of a jumping puzzle game when you were the Velociraptor. Yeah. When you were Grant, it was all... I don't remember there being exploding tranquilizer darts in the movie, but there were definitely plenty of them in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took liberties with that type of stuff.
Like, they take liberties with everything.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you're the only game that... like Space Quest, I want to say 2. Space Quest 2 is an adventure game, you know. It's not point-and-click adventure, but it was, you know, typing keyboard commands and type of stuff. Mm-hmm. One point in Space Quest 2 was Terminator is coming to get you, except he has the ability to turn invisible. Nice. So the only thing you see is footsteps coming towards you. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very frightening. And what you have to do is you have to, with a keypad, run up a flight of steps. Or is it just... It's like one flight of steps. You have to, with a keypad, do that and type push crane at the same time.
Wow.
And it, I mean, literally, like, I got to the point where I just, like... open door, and as like my computer was slowly going to the next thing, I was like push crane, and then I would just like, you know, walk over to there. But I died a few times just until the point where I actually typed push crane fast enough, and I'm like 10, 11, so I wasn't really good at the keyboard at the time. Yeah. I never took keyboard classes, and these are the games that taught me how to use a keyboard. And so like I eventually got there, and like it's very scary. I mean, like, you know, you're super suspenseful, and you're just like and you push it and he falls over and he dies, and it's just like really, really achieving. But I like Telltale's, like, kind of like LucasArts game, is like point and click.
Yeah.
And I failed to see how that suspense is going to carry over unless you have to do it quickly.
Yeah, I agree. There will be some... You'll lose something in the...
This is for Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Yes, Jurassic Park. Yeah, for Back to the Future...
Back to the Future could be fantastic. Yeah. You know what Back to the Future could be as an excellent example of point and click game, Back to the Future, Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah.
Three time theories, puzzles that that's use exactly, time interaction.
That's what, when you mentioned it, I didn't know it was that was part of it too, but when you mentioned it,
I didn't
excited.
Even think about it because because like I'm thinking about the movies for Back to the Future, and I think of like they have very, very long segments where they don't go in between time. It's they're trying the entire movie, they're just trying to get fuel or pushing something just to get into another time zone.
Yeah.
I never thought about the idea of just always having fuel and using that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I heard Back to the Future.
Post-Mr. Fusion. Who knows?
This
is all speculation.
Yeah, it's all speculation. But I would assume that, especially for a Telltale puzzle adventure game, you're going to be more time traveling. Mm-hmm. And Day of the Tentacle is awesome for that. Because, you know, like flushing a stamp down the thing and like all that other jazz was awesome.
If I remember Day of the Tentacle correctly, though, you didn't jump back and forth too much. I mean, once you were in a period, you were there for a good portion.
No, there were three people. You went back and forth between people constantly.
You can just switch whenever you want.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You flush stuff down the chronogon.
Yeah, and that's how they shared items. So technically, you were existing in all three planes at the same time.
If they took that concept,
they'd
have a nice game.
Take that concept.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
But jumping back to Scott Pilgrim, the movie looks awesome. I can't wait for the video game, and I don't know if there's much else to say about it. Check out the trailer.
Both of them, there's two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's pretty cool. I like the part. What's the dude's name that's the Human Torch? Like the real actor's name?
Chris Evans.
The one where he like just flings him into like that rotary?
My favorite, the segment of the first trailer that made me want this movie now was where I think it's the first boyfriend, it turns out. He's fighting the first boyfriend, and the boyfriend like comes flying at him, and he just nails him with a sucker punch and says K.O.O. And it just was like, what?
There's scores flipping up here and there. The sound effects are spelled out on the screen. At one point, he gets a 1-up.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm getting a life.
I like the part where, I think it's like the end of the trailer, where he deflects a blow and at the same time punches the guy.
And it's like, it's two slowdowns. It's like, ting, crunch.
Yeah, it's like, ting, crunch.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. Definitely check out Scott Pilgrim.
And it's directed by the guy who did Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
That's right. Yeah.
So even if you don't think you're going to like it, but you like those two movies, give it a shot.
Yeah. It's gonna be pretty decent. So, that's this week.
That's this week.
Later on, you can either check out our podcast. We'll put up a link to that. It should be underneath the description field.
You'll hear lots of stuff you didn't see.
Yeah. There's also going to be other links to other stuff that's on our site that we have articles for. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you're watching the video now, so you already found the video.
Good work.
Watch it again.
That's it. So you have the podcast and the links to our site. Thanks for watching.